Okay. The word for today is a little word, but it's a really big word, so it's a little big word, and it's the word if. And it's amazing how many times it comes through the scriptures, particularly after the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, and when Moses spoke to a people. It was if you do this and if you do that and if you don't do this and if you don't do that. So if in the Bible is a word of choice, you can choose to do it or you can choose not to do it. The interesting thing about the Hebrew word is that the if of choice is spelt Aleph Mem. The if of relationship is spelt Ayin Mem. So we've got im, which means if, or we've got im, which means fellowship. So the word Immanuel, God with us, is the fellowship word. It's only a change of one letter, but it means the whole difference. So our choices in life and day by day are the difference between us deciding to walk with God and to allow Him to walk with us, or we'll go our own way. But if we will walk with God, then we have the benefit, we make the choice to have the benefit of relationship with Him. And this is what comes out in last week's reading in the synagogue in Leviticus chapter 23, the last passage in the book of Leviticus read in the synagogue. And from Leviticus 26 and verse 3 to 13, sometimes in our Bibles it says the blessings, and then it says the curses. But I don't like to think of it like that because it's God speaking here, the Lord speaking here to his children, his son, Israel. And that relationship has never been broken. So what are we looking at? We're looking at the rewards of walking with the Lord, choosing, if I will do this, if you will do this, the Lord says, then I will do this for you. And there are seven of those rewards from God. And then he goes on into verses, that's from verses 3 to 13. And then from verses 14 to verse 40, really, he speaks about all the things. But if you won't listen to me, if you won't hear me, if you choose to go your own way, then these things will happen. And yet, and we think of them as the curses from God. But the word actually used in Hebrew is much more about discipline. So God's saying to his children, you're still my children. And if you keep going the wrong way, I'm going to discipline you and I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to discipline you. But in the end, you will come back to me. The purpose of all this discipline is so that you might realize how much I love you, the Lord says to his people. And that what is happening is so that you will turn back to me and that we will walk together in fellowship and in relationship. So this is what this chapter, Leviticus 26, is about. It's not blessings and curses so much as rewards for walking with the Lord and punishments when we don't. In order that it will bring us back to a place where we will walk with the Lord. And that's how I see this chapter. And it's been a revelation to me looking at this. So if I'm not going to read it all, but I'll summarize it for you and I'll send the notes to Francis as usual, and then you can look it up and follow it through if you want to do that. So first of all, God says in verse 3 of Leviticus 26, if You walk in my laws and guard my commandments and fulfill them. That's interesting because in this verse it says about guarding God's commandments and doing them. So the word there is shamar with an S-H-A-M-A-R is the Hebrew word for guard. Now, when we come to verse 14, if you will not, it doesn't say guard, it says shema, if you will not hear. So there's a play of words here. If first of all, God says, if you will guard my laws and you will safeguard them and you will do them, then all these rewards will come to you. But if you won't hear my words and you won't do them, then the disciplines of the Lord will come. And this is so true. And we can look through history and see how that has happened and how that has worked out with our Jewish people. So let's summarize the rewards. God says, I will give you the rains, the former rain, the latter rains. I will give you harvests. I will give you peace. I will give you victory over your enemies. I will give you abundance. I will set my dwelling place among you. And then there's a wonderful phrase. It says, God says, I will wander in the midst of you. So here's this amazing picture of God wandering about from place to place in as one amongst his people. And I have the picture of the king wandering about amongst his subjects, saying hello and being there so they can talk to them and they can talk to him. This sense of freedom to move about and to be in such close and lovely and fellowship relationship with his people. That's God's desire. That's always been God's desire. And actually, as I looked at this, I thought, yeah, but this is everything that we have in Messiah. We have the rains of the Holy Spirit. We have the harvests of our Jewish people coming to know Yeshua as Messiah. We have a peace in our heart. We have victory over the evil one, over Satan. We have an abundance where the Lord gives us more and more and more. Not because we deserve it, but because we're related to him through Jesus. And we are God's dwelling place. He dwells in our heart. Jesus has come to live within us. The Holy Spirit has come to live within our little old frail bodies here. Amazing. Solomon said when he consecrated the temple that he built, I've made this house. But how can the one who created the universe dwell in such a small house that I built for him? And yet, because of Yeshua and because of his death and resurrection and has given us newness of life and we've come to know him personally, God, the Holy God, the Almighty, lives within us. That's amazing. And as we walk around from place to place, he comes with us. He walks with us. We never go anywhere without the presence of God within us through Jesus, our Savior. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So I didn't see that before from this passage. But then let's look at the other things. We go on from verse 14 onwards this is really, I just want to move through this as a summary. But in verse 14, the Almighty says, but if you will not hear me and will not do all these things, something will happen. If you won't hear and do, it's like despising God's personal laws for the way that we should be and to relate to him, but also the way that we relate to one another, our social relationships and regulations. And the result of that is in verse 17, I will set my face against you. They that hate you will rule over you, and you shall run away when there's actually there's no one running after you, pursuing you, but you're still going to be running away. And that's an awful thing, to live with fear, constant fear of the possibilities. And then in verse 18, he says, if you will not hear me, then the heavens will be like brass. It will seem as if your prayers just hit the ceiling and come back to you. And all your work that you do won't be enough. You still won't feel that you're satisfied enough. And I think, sadly, that's also true of our Jewish people, that they pray such a lot. But if you were to say, well, did you get an answer to your prayer? It's not always a yes. It's not always a yes, I did. It's a question of, well, I don't know. Maybe he heard me, maybe he didn't. Who knows? It's up to Hashem, up to God. And then in verses 21, there's a strange word used. God says, if you walk casually with me. Now, what does that mean? It's like you've got a casual friend who you might see when you go out shopping, and you just sort of say, oh, hello, you know, wave across the supermarket to one another. There's a casual relationship between you. You don't often stop and talk to one another, but you acknowledge that they're there when you see them. And this is what's being said here. So our Jewish people acknowledge that God's there, but they don't spend time with him. And this is, God says, if you walk like that with me, then I'm going to walk like that with you as well. I'll recognize that you're there, but I won't spend time trying to talk to you and communicate with you, because you're not interested, you're not hearing, you're not listening. I think this is very sad, but it's a picture, and sadly, it's a true picture. Then he says, well, if you do that, then I will send more problems, because God's purpose, after all these things, he says, and if after all these things you still won't come back to me, then I'll send you something else. I'll send you another problem, because God's desire is, the verses in Jeremiah chapter 2 where he says to our people, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you to myself. And that's God's heart. That's his heart. That's his heart for every person in the world. But it's especially, I feel, he feels that for his Jewish people. So here we are. And then finally he says, but if you will despise all these things, then I will walk as if I don't know you. And in a sense, everything about all these things that we've been looked at has been fulfilled already in history. So, and the last final discipline we come to in verse 33, where he says, I will scatter you among all the nations, and you will lose yourselves among them. And this is the great fear of our Jewish people, assimilation, being lost amongst the nations, so that you lose your identity. You don't no longer feel that you're Jewish. And that is a situation that we are very much trying to deal with here in Denmark. So many Jewish people identify themselves as Danish with some sort of Jewish background. So their Jewishness isn't in the foreground for them any longer. Both the Jewish community and I trust the Christian community will begin to deal with this, so that we find so many people in the Danish churches who go and speak in the church and they say, oh, I've got Jewish relatives. And yet they never meet with other Jewish people who believe in Jesus because they're not aware that they're there. So we're believing that something needs to be happening to draw these folk together so that they can recognize their Jewish roots and their Jewish ancestry and share the benefits of that with one another. So that's another thing. Okay. So those are the words of this passage. And you can see the choice there. So now I want to look at some of the ifs in the New Covenant from the book of Yeshua. In Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 29, we read about the woman who had an issue of blood for years and years. She'd been to all the doctors, she spent all her money and everything else, and she shouldn't have been out in the community, but she was, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She made a choice. It was that if I can do it, I'm going to do it. And she did. And Yeshua said, daughter of Abraham, your faith has made you whole. You made the right choice. Your faith has brought you into relationship. And that's wonderful, isn't it? So there's one. And then another one in Acts chapter 8, verses 29 to 37. It's about the Apostle Stephen, who the Holy Spirit takes out into the desert, and he meets there a gentleman from Ethiopia coming back from Jerusalem after having gone up to one of the festivals, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. He's reading Isaiah 53, and he says, I don't understand. What does this mean? So then the disciple goes through and explains, this refers to Yeshua. This is all about Messiah, and this is what happened to him, and it's been fulfilled according to this prophecy written 600 years before it ever happened. And he says, look, there's a pool of water here. Could I be immersed? Could I be baptized? Could I have a mikveh in the name of Yeshua? And the disciple says, yes, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you can be immersed. So there's another if. It's a decision. He had to make a decision. Am I going to declare this? Am I going to say? Am I going to actually make this open declaration that in my heart I know that this Yeshua is both, is Emmanuel, is the one who is in fellowship with us, because he is God, but he is man, God and man in one person. So here we are. So another decision made that brought a person into relationship. And then in Romans 10, verses 1 to 13, we read, if you will believe in your heart and declare in your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you will be saved. You will be delivered. It's the same word. So it's a choice. Every one of us who has come to accept Yeshua as our Messiah, as our Lord, has made that choice. Yes, I believe that. Yes. And that brings us, that choice brings us into relationship, a living, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father, who all the time has been loving us and looking for us to come into this relationship. Then there's two more, just from Hebrews chapter 4, we read in the passage, verses 1 to 16, about there remains a rest, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And it goes on in verse 7, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but enter into the rest that God has, the Shabbos rest that Messiah has given to us. So each day, as believers in Yeshua, we walk in that Sabbath rest. Because we walk in the complete, the finished work of Messiah on the Calvary's tree. It's finished, he said. And now we because of the resurrection and because of the newness of life that we received, every day is a Shabbos day. Every day. It's wonderful. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, is a lovely passage that you all know so well, where in the revelation that John has of Jesus in heaven, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and we will feast together. So there again, this choice over and over again. If you will do this, if you make that choice, then we come into relationship. And I think that is fantastic. And so that's how I see this little word, if, and it's two similar words in Hebrew, the im with the aleph, the im of choice, and the im with the ayin, the im of relationship. And yet they come together. They come together in Messiah so that we can know. And one of the things that I couldn't find the verse because I haven't got everything with me, being not at home with all my books around me at the moment. But the, one of the words that always interested me was in one of Paul's letters. He says that we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. And I always thought that's a strange word, translated. But then it says, I quickly looked it up on Google, you know, what other word can we use for translated? And he says, you can use the word transformed, or you can use the word converted, because when you translate a language, you convert it from one language into another language. Now, that original language hasn't changed, but now you are living in, now you're in two dimensions. You have the old language and you have the new language, because you have both of them together. And that's where we are. We are living on this earth, but we belong in another place. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, and one day we'll be there. What a wonderful day that will be when we see him face to face, the one who has loved us with an everlasting love and who gave his son, his only son, that we might live and that we might be adopted into his family. Wow, praise the Lord. I'm going to stop now. Amen.